Address it from a fundamental level. Why did it get there?
Right.
Why is it there? There's what's and there's why's. The what is that tendon problem.
Yep.
You've got to take it beyond addressing the what's to the why's. The important aspect of the why's really has to do with understanding the biomechanical elements that lead to these problems. With Shockwave,
yep,
we have an ability to alter the soft tissue element, creating the ability to change biomechanics and function so that we can address these pain and lameness issues at a more fundamental, rudimentary element so that either we can address the cause of your problem or prevent you from getting there.
All right, you're right. That was said very well, because that's a much
different... Hey, so that was a returning guest, Dr. Mike Stewart. He's the owner of Stewart Equine Clinic, and we dive into some of the weeds about shockwave therapy. So first and foremost, I'm your host, Joe Lemon. Thank you so much for tuning in, as always. And I had a chance to catch up with Dr. Mike at the recent AAEP in San Antonio, Texas last month, and just got to talking about what it's going to take for this adoption curve to really happen in the whole future of shockwave therapy and the importance of understanding the biomechanics when it comes to getting better patient outcomes, as well as just the understanding of how you can apply holistic medicine. Okay, with that being said, guys, hope you guys enjoy this conversation.
Dr. Mike Stewart, welcome on to the podcast.
Thank you much.
A great way to start the show. We're here at the AAEP, and this is a big conference. We have thousands of veterinarians come trying to learn about latest and greatest that's out in the market.
Be open to new and different things.
Yeah.
I think is an important aspect of what this conference does, as opposed to reinforcing pre-existing ideas. It's basically here with this trade show showing new, innovative understandings and ways of doing things and approaching things.
Yeah. And so just kind of talking about that for a second. How many years have you been coming to the show?
Lots. I would say probably I have been to... probably over 30.
This is even better then. So we can get a nice sample size of some decent years here.
Exactly.
How do you see veterinarians approaching newer technology now? Is it something that they're arms wide open, or is it kind of like, we got to give it some time to figure out what's right and what's...
The unfortunate reality of what we find with medicine in general, veterinary medicine, is sticking with what I'm comfortable with and not being as open to new and innovative ideas, being stuck in a certain mindset that you know keeps things in a certain circle without the expansion of not just technology but just a way of thinking.
Wow.
A way of approaching, a way of understanding, you know, broadening the boundaries. Hmm. And I think that this really does do a good job of broadening the boundaries. A lot of people learn a lot of new and innovative things here, and hopefully that'll continue.
So when we think about what's happening in the space, especially with like shockwave therapy, I'm curious about how that adoption and that learning has been. Is that something that you feel is, yes, it's happening in a good pace? Because I'll tell you from my little bit of experience on the human side, it's been slow. I thought when I first saw this device, I was a big non-believer. I was like, devices don't work. That was my bad thinking, right? And because I've seen some things that I didn't feel like were that effective for me. But then when I had a couple of treatments myself, and I started going around treating friends and family that were honest with me, and I got honest feedback, I was in. I was like, oh, this will take no time for people to catch on to this, right?
Yeah.
So how's that been?
So the important aspect of where the therapy is creates an ability to alter function, altering biomechanics, altering the disease process. Pretty much what we look at today is that so much of the approach to pain, lameness, is through alleviating pain, pain pathways, pharmaceuticals,
right,
acupuncture, things like this, or addressing the orthopedic joint problems, that it stops in too small of a circle. What happens is that this is a bigger process, and this bigger process is based on the dysfunction that leads to pain, arthritic problems, you know, changes in you know, orthopedics and in bone shape. Important part of it is that the approach needs to be addressing this problem in a more universal, a step sooner, where dysfunction is dysfunction is the way joints, muscles operate based on strength, flexibility, and the ability to identify muscle activation. Because even if you have the ability to use it, you know, the conscious effort of making it function is another part of this equation as well.
Interesting.
So the important part of what we have here through shockwave is an ability to intersect the pain or arthritis, lameness problem at a more fundamental level. And that fundamental level is function. And so the important aspect with the shockwave in my hands and in my ability is the ability to identify the pathway that's going to lead to arthritis.
Gotcha.
The pathway that is going to lead to a reduction in the horse's performance. In the sense of the horse is going to top out at a certain level.
Yeah.
If we can change their function, we can change their biomechanics, this horse is going to top out at a much higher level due to their ability to engage, strengthen, and perform. The other element coming from the back door, the fact that, okay, now we have a lame horse, be it a tendon, be it a ligament, be it, you know, pain in their back, if you will, is to address the biomechanical elements that led to that problem, that hock pain, that back pain, or the tendon injury, address it from a fundamental level. Why did it get there?
Right.
Why is it there? There's what's and there's why's. The what is that tendon problem.
Yep.
You've got to take it beyond addressing the what's to the why's. The important aspect of the why's really has to do with understanding the biomechanical elements that lead to these problems. With shockwave, we have an ability to alter the soft tissue element, creating the ability to change biomechanics and function so that we can address these pain and lameness issues at a more fundamental, rudimentary element so that either we can address the cause of your problem or prevent you from getting there.
All right, you're right. That was said very well, because that's a much different approach than what a lot of providers kind of think about treating pain. Very similar, I guess, in actual vet world, similar to that, what you do in the whole human market is pain, numb it up. Let's take away the pain. That's the first move is let's get you out of pain.
That's right.
And I respect that because I don't want to be in pain.
Well, and the idea really is that it is important. Pain relief is an important part of getting back to normal function.
Correct.
But the idea there is that can't be the end product.
It becomes limiting at a certain point, right?
And it's pretty self-evident that if you don't address why it got there, your ability to, you know, the fundamental question is, how long is this medicine going to last?
Yeah.
Because obviously you're not fixing the problem.
Right.
You're just making it not painful.
Okay. And you mentioned something that's really good too, because you've taken this more holistic approach to it with focusing on function. And when it comes to activating muscles again, do you use shockwave for that, any components of that?
The important aspect is to identify through my veterinary work, horses wise, is that you identify where the pain or dysfunction comes from.
Gotcha.
And then, in my opinion, you work with them to identify, is this an inability to function in a normal fashion?
Got it.
And so now what we have is an ability to change that function, to give them the ability to utilize that lower back in a more appropriate fashion. Utilize those hips, the ability to sink down into their hips to do their work, as opposed to running around figuratively on stilts.
Got it.
So the essence is that we want to identify where our area of dysfunction is.
Yeah.
What are the elements to that? Maybe there's arthritic pain that is going to be limiting our ability to use those hips. But the important part of it is eliminating the pain only is going to take us so far.
Right.
And so then our shockwave gives us the ability to loosen tissue, loosen fascia, and manage the fascial element, which is really the one of the primary elements of muscular tissue and function is the fascia that surrounds them.
Yes.
So the important aspect here is that this gives us an ability to reach and modify and improve the fascial element that really limits our ability of these muscles to function, which invariably alters the ability of the joint to function, which leads to more and more problems.
All right, this is a really smooth breakdown. I like this a lot. So when we think about the different tools that are on the market that could possibly do that, you have the PiezoWave, which is obviously that's our version.
Right.
But there's other different tools out there as far as other different types of focused shockwave units and radial devices. Have you tried any of the radial products?
Yes.
Okay.
I've done the radial shockwave work as well, forms of shockwave therapy.
They can cross as far as the radial and focus.
So the important part of radial basically is the sound travels in a parallel fashion, mm-hmm. and creates its therapy by the impact on the tissue.
Correct.
And so the other, which is the focus, creates an area of high pressure, and this area of high pressure creates a focalized area in the tissue that causes it to expand on a cellular level.
Yes.
And so what happens is that this effect of having a focalized area of high pressure is where the therapeutic effect takes place. Loosening scar tissue, loosening fascia, loosening joint capsules, mm-hmm. because we can see immediate responses to the loosening that is created as we're doing the therapy. Mm. And using the PiezoWave machine and device, I'm able to direct my therapy till I'm happy with the flexibility that exists. And so the reality of mine is that there's not completely a cookbook approach.
Right.
Because the idea is, depending upon the type of tissue, depending upon the type of individual, the type of injury, mm-hmm. You're going to be doing more and less. And this gives me really a one and done therapy, mm-hmm. in regards to having a profound, immediate response that does not exist with other machines and devices. And so the other types of focused shockwave creates its therapy or its focal point by a spark in water. This basically has piezoelectric plates that, in my opinion, with crystals that clap together associated with electrification, that creates our sound. So essentially we have a spark in water and we have piezoelectric plates.
Yes.
Our piezoelectric plates, if you wish to show, gives us the ability to change our focal points depending upon the offsets that we use with the piezo machine. So what happens here is that this form creates a more shallow approach as opposed to this, which is much deeper. And so the important part of it is that it gives me the ability to really directly focus on the areas independently or at the same time, you know, figuratively, to loosen more superficial and then deeper tissues through the same therapy.
Right.
And the idea is that very commonly, you need to loosen the superficial part before you can even reach the deeper part. And so this flexibility really allows me to get down behind shoulder blades, behind that scapula,
yes.
superficially, to where now I can get that scapula out away from the withers and the rib cage, and then use a much deeper form so that we can now get down between the scapula and the rib cage and loosen tissues that you cannot even begin to touch or have therapy to.
Yeah.
So the important aspect of flexibility through our depth is extremely, extremely important.
Love that. So the precision is why you like,
yeah, exactly.
Why you like using the piezo over some other different
right.
devices.
They have a less precise form of focusing than this gives me.
Yes. Makes sense. Makes total sense. And so, you know, when we think about shockwave moving forward, you know, think about the AAEP in the future here. I'm just curious.
Right.
How do you see shockwave over the next 5 to 7 years?
What's going to happen is that the keynote speaker last year had to do with biomechanics.
Okay.
And so the Dr. Denois from France. Mm-hmm. And so the key really is, once they will be able to appreciate the changes in biomechanics that modifying the soft tissue can create, will open the floodgates to this therapy.
Yes.
The important part of there again is that, you know, there is a learning curve to understanding how this works, because unfortunately there is a lack of education based on the fact that that the anesthetic effect that this creates.
Right.
And in my world and in my therapy, there is zero anesthetic effect, because the idea is that it's a one and done therapy. And these horses will continue to progress and improve as that flexibility and strength allows them to improve their biomechanics. And so the key really is that a lot of Shockwave has gotten off to a very bad start because of unethical use of you know, using it for an anesthetic quality, which creates an ethical problem. And so the key here is that in time, it will create a threshold of knowledge where people will be able to appreciate the biomechanics that we're able to improve and thereby broaden their approach. And like you and like me, the ability to appreciate that has a lot to do with its effect on you and its effect on me, on how it's really had a profound effect on my biomechanics, my arthritis, neck, you know, shoulders, thumbs, things like this, that there's nothing that will in any way equal the therapy that this gives us.
Well, and you know, I'm thinking about like vets coming in that don't have much experience with like Shockwave yet. Where would you kind of, let me try to help them understand where to start, because like you said,
where do you begin?
Yeah, because it is this art form too. Like you said, depending on what you're trying to treat and bone, tendons, you know, muscle, like where do you kind of find the right recipes
to
understand?
The intersecting of where this begins is the initial usage of giving it a try. Because the beauty of this is that my cliche is that it's a relatively blunt tool. I mean, it's not a situation that you're going to in any way damage tissue or in any way create a process that will create damage. It basically helps to loosen fascia, creating flexibility and changing biomechanics. And then what happens, then the recipient, whether it's going to be a person or whether it's going to be a horse, is going to tell you, oh my gosh, what a difference this has made. Because the most common phrase of folks that have used this for the first time is that it's a game changer.
Right.
A game changer. It's not like, oh, this helps to improve that sore joint or that sore tendon. It changes the entire game. It's bringing LeBron James into the lineup.
Sure.
You know, it's a matter that it changes how the whole horse functions.
Yeah.
And so then it becomes a snowball rolling down the hill. Virtue of the fact that a lot of it, once you open the door, will be driven by the clients who demand this type of benefits and therapy. It enables veterinarians to increase the size of the pie as opposed to what's the different things I'm going to inject into that joint.
Right.
Now people are going to be calling you because this horse isn't moving right. This isn't doing this way. As opposed to, you know, fire engine, oh my gosh, my horse can't stand on this leg because of a tendon injury.
Yeah.
We are addressing biomechanics prior to the tendon injury. Or what it does is, okay, you're going to be doing your tendon therapy, but now you're going to be adding this additional therapy that's going to benefit the horse, alleviating the cause of why it got that tendon injury in the first place.
I love that. And, you know, I'm thinking now, because we are about to wrap up soon, and I want to get your thoughts here on this, because I think you've had a chance to experience different devices on the market, and 30 years coming here, I'm sure you see a lot of things come and go.
Right, exactly.
Which is a lot of people's concern, which is valid.
Right.
And when I think about what could we be doing different to enhance the overall, you know, getting the word out better or helping educate the market better, more efficiently
How does this go?
Mm-hmm.
One of the big, the importance from an anatomical perspective of the fascial effects with muscles.
Okay.
So the important aspect is that there are very many devices that focus on the muscle tissue, the expansion and contraction of a muscle. The greatest part of the ability of that muscle to expand and contract is everything that surrounds it, which is the fascia, joint capsules, the soft tissue parts. Unfortunately, a lot of this is not easily documented. So the important part of it is a better identifying of proper and improper biomechanics is going to be, you know, there is some attempt, which I do not think is very successful currently, of using computer animated type of things, because unfortunately it's two dimensional rather than three dimensional.
Yeah.
And so much of my work, you know, is on videos of people sending me pictures, you know, videos of horses and such, that you cannot really get a good appreciation until you are seeing it live. And there again with people.
Yeah.
The idea there is, you know, showing how, you know, the change in the biomechanics and how that person feels after the shockwave therapy. Because unfortunately, you know, our patients can't talk to us. So the only way we can appreciate that is, unfortunately, these subtle elements of understanding the biomechanics.
Well, you know what? I mean, that's kind of a good and bad, though, right? I mean, because like sometimes with people, like at least for myself, I get into it where I'm like, oh, of course, I will myself to get better. But with your clients, they can't give you any verbal feedback.
Right.
So you're left to look at nothing but the raw data of observing if the gait's better.
And you know, needless to say, there's no placebo effect.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, these horses don't have any change or desire or preconceived notion of what this therapy is going to do.
Right.
The key really is the fact that my best clients are the most perceptive clients. Clients that will complain about the function of a horse that, you know, sometimes it's very difficult for me to see, but they can feel it. And so those are my best clients that will appreciate shockwave far better than those that can only see when a horse can't lift up its leg.
Got it.
So the important part of it is really the understanding of how we're going to change the whole realm by changing the perception of moving it from pain and you know, arthritis and joints to the fact that success and failure is how you do your job.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, you can do a job, but your future is how well you do your job.
That's right. I love everything about this conversation. Dr. Mike, this has been great, man, because moving the emphasis from pain to function and really dialing in the biomechanics and how we can focus on that in the whole educational process, opposed to just looking at, okay, then I heard you more, I think.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And therein, you know, is the education of the patient, i.e. people, or the client, the owner of the horse, of why we're doing this and how it's going to change.
Yes.
You know, requires, you know, a certain level of education doesn't, you know, I guess, education is the word in the sense of broadening that perspective, because what happens really is that the key to good joint function, this is not NASCAR. This is not replacing these joints. It's a matter that it will heal.
Yeah.
We have to address causation of why it's not healing, and why it's not healing is limitations on that range of motion.
Man, think about what they did in the drug business as far as on the human side. Pharmaceutical companies did a great job of educating patients to go ask your doctor.
Right.
I mean, like, sometimes I get a little revved up about that, but I think it's a great campaign because it was effective for the outcomes that they wanted. I wish we could find something like that for these type of therapies that are more holistic and non-invasive, you know?
And that's where the economics comes into play.
Yes.
And so, you know, needless to say, the economic drive of the doctor or the pharmaceutical companies has to do with selling more drugs.
Yeah.
And so the key here really is the fact that from an economic perspective, we look at this therapy as broadening your caseload. There is no recharging fees associated with the use of this.
Right.
I've used mine currently for 3 years with zero recharging fees.
There's no ongoing maintenance like that.
No maintenance. Yeah. And the financial benefits of this, as well as the ability to be creative with this device, gives us the ability to further expand from what we know even today to what we're going to be doing tomorrow.
Right.
And so, unfortunately, what we have to do is to get to the economic benefits of using PiezoWave.
Yeah.
That it is not the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same from an economic perspective, and it's not the same from a therapeutic perspective. And it's equal to any and all of the other shockwave devices out there. It's not a step down in intensity and therapy level. It is every bit as effective.
Yeah. And you know, honestly, Doc, I mean, I've kind of committed to this process of just slow growth.
What happens is the mindset is the key.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the element here is that it takes time.
Yeah.
Which is okay. That's all right.
Yeah. Right. Because the conviction is it will happen.
Yeah.
You know, in a religious fashion, Jesus did pretty good with 12 guys.
Yeah, he did.
It took some time.
Yeah, it took a little bit of time.
Took some time, but he's done pretty good with 12 guys.
I think that's a great way for us to wrap up, Dr. Mike. Thanks again for coming out.